The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Professor Diane Manica is here from Education. How are you?
I am just fine and delighted to be here.
The red sweater that you're wearing is the fire of the weekend about to begin, and everybody's excited. In this case, fire in a positive sense.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was wondering where you were going to go with that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, in the Ignatian
go
sense.
Go forth and
set the world on fire, right?
Yes. Professor Prasad Venugopal is our guest panelist for today, and
he
is dressed in stripes.
It's good to be back after a long absence.
Yes, absolutely.
We didn't at least scare you a minute away, or two.
Huh? Can I give a shout out to the Iowa Brennans?
Oh, absolutely. Of course you can. Yeah.
They're my wife's side of the family, cousins and so on, and they listen. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, wait a minute. Are these the people not sending in questions that we have to like strong arm?
No, we don't have to strong arm them, but
embarrass them.
Well, there we
harass.
Go. We just did it.
Of course.
Now, Dave, you promised not to bring up things that Prasad was talking about off the air.
Oh, strong arm. Oh, those. Oh,
I won't bring up the
color. Tell them they can't see Kieran and Mira until you.
I won't bring up the color.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
Just turn into a hot.
Oh, we're getting nasty here.
This is getting militant.
I like my in-laws.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I do. I like mine too. So.
That's a good thing.
And if my mother-in-law gets to hear about this, I won't get any more of her fantastic rum cake.
So there's food involved.
Of course, there's food involved.
Strangely enough, you've never brought any of that rum cake in here, have you?
No, and I don't intend to.
He's hoarding.
Between 6 months of every...
Professor Beth Oljar from Philosophy, how's your mother-in-law? I can't think of anything else.
She's awesome. In fact, Durna, I would like for her to come live with us.
Really?
Oh, really?
Where is she right now?
She's in Portland with her sister.
Okay. Interesting.
And helping raise her kids. And we kind of think she deserves a break from that.
Absolutely.
Oh, so you mean come live with you for a while?
No, she can live for as long as she wants.
Awesome.
Which Portland?
Oregon.
Oregon.
The only one that counts.
Not Portland, Maine.
I'm going to the one that doesn't count. That's what I was asking. Yeah.
I'm sure Portland,
like
Maine is lovely.
We are not going to get any questions from that part of the country.
No, probably not now.
Whoops.
Never going to happen again. Okay. Professor Dave Chow, College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
How are your in-laws?
I love them dearly. Actually, I took my father-in-law the other night to the Detroit Velodrome.
Cool. Oh, wow.
At 8 Mile and Mound, and we watch go-karts, mini-bikes, and motor scooters go around, and mopeds on a velodrome.
Did they go clockwise or counterclockwise?
Counterclockwise.
Interesting. Just like NASCAR. Conspiracy.
Oh, actually, if you want, you ready for this? There was one moped that kept on going around, left the blinker on.
Making a right turn left turn.
Making a left turn all the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's actually got
strictly speaking.
Yeah, they were. But it
must
was hilarious.
Obey the law. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Mopeds.
Well, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you can spell the word velodrome, you actually win a prize. And if you stump the panel, you win one of our UDM t-shirt prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166. Or, if you will, send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we were discussing things, Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington, had sent us a mishmash of questions, which left us... In 1995, this musical group made over $100 million but didn't tour. Who are we talking about? Beth has had 7 days to think about this question.
I'm going with NSYNC.
It is not NSYNC.
Journey?
Give me a genre. Can you narrow the...
The genre is Beth should not take 7 days to think about the answer to this question.
So they were obviously really big in 1995.
Yes, they were.
$1 million. But not, for whatever reason, didn't want a tour.
Was it like perhaps, U2? Or,
perhaps I'm not being emphatic enough. Beth Oljar specifically should not have to think too hard about the answer to this question. It was the Beatles because of the Beatles' number one album with 45 of their number ones. Okay. And they re-released and they made a killing. I bought that album too. I love
Beatles. Although they actually never toured after 1966, so it's
right. It had already been a while.
Gotcha.
Absolutely.
But that CD, that collection is actually awesome.
Yeah, because the songs are the perfect length.
It actually existed in 1995.
It did.
Yeah. Everybody would have been alive in 1995, yes?
No.
No, not John Lennon. John what am I thinking? But the rest of everybody was still alive, which is
so the rest of everybody?
You know, what is it? Pavarotti and the other guy.
Yeah, what are their names? Exactly.
Pavarotti, Lorenzo Lamas, and the other guy.
Ricardo Montalban.
It's you.
You blend.
Thank you for that hint and the emphasis.
Let's just say that George Harrison was still alive in 1995, I believe. He hadn't passed away yet, right?
That's right.
If he did, if he had passed away, his appearance in the Traveling Wilburys would have been very,
very out of the ordinary.
And if you ask Russ Gibb in Dearborn, Paul McCartney died a long time ago, too.
That was a
and
long
he
time
actually,
ago.
George might have believed that it was possible to be in the Traveling Wilburys after he, in fact, died.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Don't take any pot shots at Hindu philosophy here.
Hey, George was sort of exploring spirituality. Jeez. That's fine.
All I remember is I got my eyes set on you and all the talking animals attached to the walls. That
was
the
that's
video.
A great song because it's very Beatlish, right? I mean, it was definitely
love that song.
The Fab Four.
Yep. It did remind me of Alfred Hitchcock, though. But
a little bit. Every red-blooded Detroiter and some non-red-blooded Detroiters know that the Supremes' first number one was
Baby Love.
No, but baby was definitely a word that was used a lot in this song.
Where did our love go?
Where did our love go? Yes, baby, baby. Where did our love go? Who are Richard Nixon's two daughters? What are their names?
Julie
and Trisha.
And Trisha. I was going to make a joke about Prasad having a framed picture of Nixon in his office and having to know Nixon's daughters off the top of his head. But
you have a framed picture of Nixon in your office.
No, he does not.
I'm trying to imagine that.
He just dated both of them, that's all.
Oh, my gosh.
We can start that rumor going.
Those would have been interesting family dinners.
Did they ever get into politics or anything, Julie or Trisha?
Husband.
Did they do
husband
politics?
Did, right? Julie married David Eisenhower, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I remember hearing
that's
that.
That's right.
All right.
It was like the first White House wedding or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did go to grad school with a
Nixon?
Graduate from, with a guy from Haiti whose name was Richard M. Nixon.
Wow. That's tough.
Brutal.
That's tough. That's like the movie and the guy named Michael Bolton and everything.
Right.
I have a very nice student in my class this term. Her last name is Gnosis. And so I said,
Jordan.
Is it okay? Yes. If I say, that must have been really, really tough. She's like, yeah, my whole name is like a disease. And I said, I'm right there with you. After we learned about meiosis and high school biology, I was meiosis the whole rest of the time, that I was in high school. So we bonded a little bit.
I have her in intro this term.
Yes.
I had a student named Gnosis. We never got that joke. We're not that hip and savvy.
We're not that hip and savvy.
I'm sorry.
This is pretty geography heavy, thinking back to where we started. What country was once known as the Belgian Congo?
Oh, my.
This is like
Belgian Congo.
My chair goes around with these crazy books, and he tells us, do you know that Africa is the least understood geographically, just by borders, of any continent on the face of the earth? And I'm like, I agree with you. This is actually one of the things I know about Africa.
Zaire
is the name of the country now.
Wow. This is almost worse than that. One week we had those questions. What's the Paris of the Midwest?
Well, you should know the Paris of the Midwest.
Yeah, that one I know, but the others were clueless.
But all the rest were tough. Yeah, apparently, in the grand scheme of what we learned from the geography bee, students of elementary and high school age are least apt to be able to put in the names of countries into the borders of Africa than any other continent.
Well, allegedly, I don't know if this is actually true. I have no evidence one way or another. Sarah Palin didn't know that Africa was actually a continent.
Oh, that's
good.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
And she didn't know why North and South Korea were two different countries.
Why is an important thing to know.
Heartbeat away from the presidency.
It starts and ends with Dennis Rodman. Okay.
Our
underused diplomat. Oh, yes.
Our most, the United States secret treasure, Dennis Rodman.
Keep it secret.
Who had the nickname the Munchausen of the West? I've never heard this person referred to this way, but the name makes sense. Everybody familiar with the story of Baron Munchausen? He was just a big liar.
What?
Or a big tall tale teller, that's what I should say.
Well, like a Will Rogers, a...
You're getting there, you're getting there. Think Old West. Think copyrighted Disney songs.
P.T. Barnum is a great guess. I'm sorry it's not correct.
Yeah, it's a good guess. I love it. It's a very good
actually,
guess.
Actually, my mind
initials
likes it
better than D.C.? First name, same as one of the names of the monkeys that became with...
Davy
Crockett.
Davy Crockett, yes, was the Munchausen of the West.
Killed him a bar when he was only three.
Killed him a bar, I think, yes. Actually. Very well done, profs. Very, very well done. Dear profs, thank you so much for reading my last set of questions. Here's another set of 25 questions to hopefully stump you. Odds are I'll fail.
Oh, well, a realist.
Pretty amazing. But I will live with the fame of having my questions read again. Sincerely, Amy Dixon of Port Angeles, Washington. I'm telling you, Beth, the state of Washington is just pumping out the questions left and right. Absolutely amazing.
You got to do something when it rains.
Oh, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we just...
I love the rain. So
we're taking it out on good part, large swaths of America, aren't we?
Yeah, we've already...
Maine's taken out of the question.
Yeah, we've already just cheesed off half of Portland, Washington, and now Washington is right. They're going to secede from the Union.
I lived in Washington for 7 years. It was awesome. Well, yeah, it was awesome.
I'm guessing it's pretty close to what Oregon's like. Am I wrong?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Pretty similar.
Aside from the desert and everything,
But it's weird, right? Because for both Oregon and Washington, between the Pacific Ocean and the Cascades, you get all the rain and the green, and then it's desert.
Yep, right on the other side. That's right, exactly. Well, let's kick it off with this. What is the name of Tom Hanks' character in The Da Vinci Code?
Robert Langdon.
Robert Langdon, yes. Did you read the new book, Beth, this summer? It was entertaining. So entertaining that I need to take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Questions today about Melville, Charles Dickens, Tolstoy, and the Cambrian rocks. How's that? Today's panel, I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right, history professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Professor Hayes. On my left, Russell McLaughlin of the University of Detroit Green Room programs.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Thank you, Professor McLaughlin, and our middleman again, Professor John Mahoney of the University of Detroit English Faculty.
With approval of that, certainly. How do you do?
All of the questions used on this program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the expert, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or America. Now, this message from the University of Detroit. Thank you. This question is from Carl Budd, B-U-D-D, of Detroit, Michigan. Actually, he sent three questions, and again, we warn the listener, if you're going to send three, send them all in one batch.
You can't divide 16 by 3.
No, but you can divide the sheets on which he writes them into three.
Yeah, but each one was sent in a separate envelope, you see.
Yeah, so he's wasting 12 cents there.
Yeah. I see what you mean, Fred, yeah. I bow to that brilliant piece.
Send them all in one envelope.
Brilliant piece of economic mathematics.
In Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers, what was the name of the law firm which represented the plaintiff, Mrs. Bardell?
Oh, that was, wait a minute, give me a little tiny clue, will you?
Well, you may have a little trouble seeing the whole thing clearly. It may be sort of misted over.
Dim and dimmer.
Wait a minute, will you give me the first name of the firm?
Dodson.
These questions.
Dodson and Fogg. Right. Dodson and Fogg.
All right, half credit for that.
And we are back for some reason.
Got nothing better to do.
Nothing better
how
to
these
do.
Things work.
Professor Chow was just regaling us with stories of Rodman's past.
Diplomacy.
Diplomacy, what can I say? If it hadn't been for that run-in, he may not have become Kim Jong-un's best friend. Seriously.
I set things into motion. I had nothing.
And that little boy
I know nothing.
Became...
I know nothing.
Where would one find the Fisher of Rolando?
Fisher, F-I... S-H-E-R-F-I-S-S-U-R-E.
The fissure, of Rolando.
It's got to be like an ocean feature.
Like a moon or something like that?
It's a feature. It's definitely a feature.
On Mars.
It's not on Mars. I feel like my students who have Father Jerry Albright this term could tell you where the fissure of Rolando is.
Oh, it's some body part?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in the...
Pretty important one.
Is it in the brain?
Yeah, it's the brain. Oh. It's in the human brain, yes.
It was like an abyssal or something.
Yes.
Some of the deep ocean.
Exactly. Trench. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Marianas Trench or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Where did Martin Luther King Jr. get his PhD from? Fantastic question that I did not know the answer to until I just read it.
Was it Temple?
Not Temple.
No. Morehouse? No, Howard?
It was not a traditionally African-American institution, which I find fascinating. Find this fascinating.
Which conference?
Actually, I know what their mascot is because they are very often confused with Boston College Eagles. I believe they are the Bulldogs.
Mississippi State?
Nope.
It's someplace in the north, though.
Ish.
Butler? Mm-hmm.
I thought that my clue would be a little more revealing. They're very often confused with Boston College.
Oh, the Eagles.
Eastern Michigan? No.
No. It's Boston University, the Bulldogs of Boston University.
Oh.
Very small private place, right? Isn't that right about them? I just remember seeing the little picture of the puppy dog, and they made the big dance a couple
Boston
years ago.
Boston University, yeah. Mm-hmm. Had a president there called Silber, John Silber, who ran for Massachusetts governor.
Oh.
Just the name.
Well, I like the connection.
Mitch Daniels, the guy who used to be governor of Indiana, he's now president of Purdue.
Right, yes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
In cowboy talk, what's tonsil paint? Paint my tonsils tonight. Hoo-wee.
Whiskey?
Whiskey is the correct answer. Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure. What is the December birthstone? Gosh,
topaz.
Yes. Well, actually, you know, it's not.
Aquamarine?
Actually, it's turquoise is what it is. I have this conversation with my wife all the time because there are two kinds of topaz, yellow and blue. Mm-hmm. In the long past.
And red, and there's a bunch more now.
But in long past, because I was born in November, yellow topaz was November and blue was December. But in some kind part of the modern era, it's actually been changed to turquoise. And she doesn't like the fact that topaz got taken away from her, my wife, who was born in December. So
was
anyway.
I don't like this at all.
Uh-oh.
This is bad news.
Back away, Diane.
Keep getting her
don't come
blue topaz.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, well, I have blue topaz.
We're both topaz people. I have no problem with that.
Topaz is the name of a character on TV?
Topaz.
No?
Okay. So you're thinking Top Cat.
You're thinking of Tupac?
No, I'm not thinking
of Tupac. It should be the name of the character on TV. It sounds like the name of a secret superhero or something.
It does.
It was a Mercury car. I know.
Yes, we are.
Thinking more in terms of a PI.
Well, there was definitely a Mercury named Topaz, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What infamous event led to the creation of the United States EPA Superfund? Mm-hmm.
Love Canal.
Not Love Canal.
What other?
A little bit before.
Some oil spill?
I'm surprised by you guys sometimes.
Three Mile Island.
Yes, it was Three Mile Island meltdown.
Couldn't get any farther than big nuclear problem.
I kept on thinking like oil spill. I was thinking Exxon Valdez, but no.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to my students the other day that one of the most important characterization techniques in all of chemistry is called nuclear magnetic resonance. But when it was first invented, they realized they could do tissue imaging. It's what we call MRI. But public enemy number one, the first thing on the agenda was, this is great for medicine. Take the word nuclear out of it. It's going to freak people out. So they changed it to magnetic resonance imaging.
Right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but now hospitals still have departments of nuclear medicine.
Yes, they do. Yeah. But that was not the 50s.
So. Yeah, now it's a little nuclear is a little bit more
acceptable.
Yeah, tame.
Well, now,
nuclear is, but nuclear
now it's about injecting some of this stuff into you.
Yes.
And seeing a glow.
Yes. Radioactive isotopes or
something. And we don't care. Just drink a.
That radium.
Yeah, barium. Yeah, some
barium shake.
Barium shake.
According to my mom.
Yep. Sorry, got to say it because our last two presidents did it, but it's one of the relatively short list of cons that I have for our current president, that he continues the long-standing tradition going back to H.W. Bush, Clinton, W., and Obama of saying nuclear instead of nuclear, which is very offensive to scientists and matter, for that matter.
Can't we just call it fuzzy?
Yeah.
People who know English?
What two letters in American Sign Language require a finger to move? All the rest of them are just static objects.
J.
J is one of them because you have to trace a J. Yes.
S.
It's not S, but you're really close.
Z.
Zorro. Yes, Z. Absolutely. J and Z. J-Z. There's another conspiracy here.
Wow.
I have a 100% deaf student in my lecture this term, and so I'm learning a lot about sign language. I can tell you right now that weight comes in handy a lot. What is the world's most expensive spice per gram?
Saffron.
Saffron, yes, absolutely. But two people.
Yeah, I was going to say ginger spice.
Any Indian who knows anything about cooking has to know the answer to that question.
Saffron.
I was going to say, like, what was it? David Beckham's wife or something like that.
That's funny. Funny. I'm just wild about saffron. That's all I have to say.
Wasn't that a billiard place in our neck of the woods?
Was it? Yeah. Snookers is what you're thinking.
Oh, no.
It's gone, isn't it?
It's gone. Yeah, it's long gone. Yeah. Never went there once. What branch of the military did Bill Cosby serve in? There's only a few.
Navy,
yes. Now, what made you answer that? Did you know it? He just looks like a sailor?
He just looks good in a Popeye hat, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I figured the chances that it was the Air Force were probably...
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Slim. Bill Cosby looked like a Marine. Probably the best bet, so you got a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, that's true. He is of a generation that almost didn't have Air Force, right? Because the Air Force came out of World War II. Mm-hmm. Previously, it was Army Air Force and then Air Force. My grandfather served in Army Air Force and Air Force.
Well, it also took a long time for blacks to be allowed to be pilots.
That is also true. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That is true.
So,
on the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond, what is it that Ray does to earn a living?
Annoy
sports
people.
Sports writer.
Oh. It's a sports writer.
Both correct. Both acceptable answers. That's all I have to say. I will just put all my cards on the table and say I never got the show. I watched it a few times. I'm like, it's not funny.
Meh.
I don't
but
know.
But he gets the Simpsons.
Meh. Yeah, isn't that weird?
I thought it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it at all. Just I love, what is it, Peter, who's the father? The father, mm-hmm. Ray's father.
And the mother. I think
yes.
She was
it Peter
Doris
Boyle?
Roberts.
Yes. Peter
the,
Boyle.
The two
yeah.
of them
Peter
were
Boyle.
Just phenomenal.
The Frankenstein monster. Every time I see that, it's the Frankenstein monster.
Putting on the Ritz. You got it. What was the first country that used police dogs? Would it help you for me to say that it's a country that's part of another country?
I'm not going to say Rome, but...
No.
A country that's part of another
country. Yes. How many countries do you know that are parts of other countries?
Liechtenstein.
No. Texas.
Texas, you know.
Taiwan?
Not too far. Nope, not Taiwan. It's in Europe.
Oh, Monaco?
Not Monaco. Nope.
Switzerland?
What is the standard, the police of greater London area are called?
Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard. It was Scotland, actually,
Scotland.
That was the first country to use police dogs. Yep. In Scotland...
It's not actually a country that's part of another country, but okay.
It kind of is. If you go watch CGP Grey's video,
empire.
I know, it's part of a kingdom, yes. Technically, but it's... Great Britain is very difficult to explain. It's extremely difficult to explain.
Oh, I know. My mother-in-law definitely let you know that she is Welsh.
Oh, yeah.
English.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a really, really big deal. Prior to 1956, New York City's Liberty Island was called...
Ellis Island?
Was not Ellis Island. Start with the letter B, named after a person. And the only reason I know this is because last summer I watched Ken Burns' Liberty documentary.
Island.
Nope. First part of the word is the name of the thing that we sleep in.
Bedloe Island.
Bedloe, yes. And I was going to go from high to low for the other one.
I was
going to
say Bedlam.
Oh. Bedlam, yes. Bedlam Island, exactly. What is the real first name? I mean... all a matter of opinion and perspective, of Duke Ellington. His given name maybe would be more proper.
Wow. And I just watched Jazz recently.
It's just a regular... And you... Ken Burns?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Ken Burns comes in so handy, but we can't
all the time.
And I love Duke Ellington.
It's a very sort of blah name, I have to say.
Is it Edward?
William?
It was Edward, yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. Edward Ellington. E.E. for his initials. So Michigan, and this is either to our detriment or to our insular advantage, has only one United States National Park within its borders. Do you know what it is?
Isle Royale,
yes. You knew that right off the top of your head.
I've camped there.
Oh, that's awesome. It's a beautiful place.
Gorgeous.
And isn't there also a very large boat sunk that's still sort of sticking up on one side of the island?
I don't recall. I didn't make it to that Staten Island.
That's all right. Just wondering.
I was
just
busy
wondering.
Trying to find an outhouse every now and then. So.
In the Back to the Future movies, Doc Brown is allergic to something. Do you remember what it is?
Synthetics. That was just on recently.
Yes, you got that right off the top of your head.
I loved Christopher Lloyd as an actor. I mean, from Taxi.
Well, I knew Matt knew that.
I know. I'm not even wearing my flux capacitor t-shirt today. It's one of my favorite movies, and now my son is named Emmett, so it's kind of freaky. After the Iranian hostages were released, what was the first city they flew to before coming back to the United States?
Mannheim? Wiesbaden? No.
Tell me it wasn't Disneyland.
It was not.
It was not. First city?
The first city they flew to, because I believe that they kind of fudged this in Ben Affleck's movie. They looked like they flew directly home, but they stopped somewhere first.
I'm either going with Paris or I'm going with Montreal.
Istanbul or something.
Canadian cities.
None of the cities I've heard are even close to the city they flew to first.
Amsterdam?
It would have to be someplace with a U.S. air base, I would think.
You would think, but I think that they were doing the old double-blind study sort of thing here. They went to a
Montreal?
Place. It wasn't Montreal.
Islamabad?
No, they did not go to Islamabad. It's in Africa. Mm-hmm.
Africa.
Yep. The city name shares most of its wording with the name of the country that it's in. Does that help? They kind of look the same on paper.
I was going to say Cairo, but
not Cairo. No, no.
Tangiers.
Last guess here. They both start with the letter A. The city and country start with the letter A.
Algiers?
Yeah, it was Algiers is where they actually landed in Algeria. That's actually where my grandfather was stationed during World War II.
Argo is a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie. I still don't know what I think about Ben Affleck, but that is a great movie.
Yeah, just not as Batman, that's all.
Yeah, just not as Batman.
He's super cute in Argo.
I'll let you guys have a week to think about Ben Affleck as Batman, but let's say goodbye first. Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Oljar.
Bye.
Professor Venugopal.
Bye-bye.
Professor Diane Manica.
Bye now.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals, maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want, the big thinkers, the dreamers, because those are the people who make things happen, great things, for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.